Today is April 26th, Sunday. This is the fifth sermon we're preaching from our home during this COVID virus. God bless you, brothers and sisters. This is Brother John, and we miss you all. We thank you for your prayers. We're praying for you. We realize this is an unusual time for all of us. Keep praying for one another. I ask you to keep in your prayers the Newman family for the tragic loss of the son Tommy. We ask you to pray for Brother Stanley. I ask you to pray for his wife Carlene. She was fighting a blood pressure issue. And Lord, and for any other prayer requests, we just want to commit them to the Lord to now. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Lord, we know that your sacrifice was the full payment for our sins. And today we look back at that sacrifice and we hold on to the Lamb of God and we watch the life go out of the Lamb. And Lord, we believe that you paid the price for our sins and that we are justified by our faith in what you've done for us, and we're saved by the blood of God. And Lord, we're so grateful for your promise of the Holy Ghost, that the seal that shows you have accepted our faith, the seal of God, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost on our souls, Lord. The literal life of God coming back into the believer. Lord, that's the goal, Lord. We know that's the token. That's our ticket out of here, Father. Lord, we don't want to be here in the tribulation time that's soon coming. We want to go into the rapture. And Lord, I just ask that you bless each one that's listening today. Help me, Lord, to get out of the way. Give me your thoughts, O God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to speak about the disciples of John today. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Before we read that scripture, I just want to say that we're also posting a sermon of Brother Perry Green from 2006, and he preached about the summary of the seven seals and the seventh seal. And I want you to know that I do agree with the position that Brother Green took on this. It wasn't popular. It's still not popular today. A lot of people have different ideas about it, but I want you to know, as you're pastor of this local assembly, I believe every word that Brother Branham said about the seventh seal, but I do not believe what people are saying, many of the followers around the message, what they're saying about it. And so I think we need to be careful that we don't inject our own ideas into it, but we stay with what was preached to us. Anyway, take a listen to that series. You can go to the Tucson Tabernacle website, which is in the links. If you go to the links on our website, you pick Tucson Tabernacle. Then on the left side, you pick Brother Perry Green Sermons. Then at the bottom, you'll see the series on the seventh seal. And I listened to the whole series. I was listening to one sermon a day. And we went through the whole series. And I'm posting just the summary, the seven seals, but you should listen to the whole series. It's really, really good. So God bless you, saints, as we turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears, let him hear. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today we're going to talk about the disciples of John. You know, these were blessed disciples. They received a true prophet of God, a promised prophet. Again, John was not just a prophet. There was many prophets in the Bible, but he was a promised prophet. His life and his ministry were literally the fulfillment of Scripture. He was that voice crying in the wilderness that was prophesied by Isaiah. He was that messenger promised in Malachi, sent to prepare the way before the coming of the Messiah. You know, when you think of how many years had gone by since Isaiah and Malachi had spoken, can you actually imagine being there at the time when John was speaking, of that blessed few people that actually recognized John as the fulfillment of those prophecies? It must have been an exciting time. All the people gathering, the atmosphere must have been electric when they saw John baptizing people in the river, when John boldly spoke against Herod, when he said, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, John said, you know, he's out there among you. He's one of you. You don't know him. He spoke of the Messiah in such a way that people could feel that it was going to happen very soon. They knew something was happening because of John's ministry. And also, I can imagine that the people were not used to such boldness, the anointing that John had. They must have rejoiced to hear him speak out against the religious priests that the people probably did not really care for their ways. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Matthew 3, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Can you imagine being there? That anointing that was on John, he also came in the spirit of Elijah, and he was fulfilling the scriptures, anointed by God, preparing the way for the Messiah. The people that followed John, they never heard anybody rebuke the religious leaders that way. But in their hearts, they knew there was something wrong with the religious system of the day. That's why they left their established religions. They left their families and friends who thought they were crazy, because they could truly see and they truly believed that God was speaking through John. So they went out and they followed this wilderness prophet. They believed his ministry was important. They hung on his every word. They gladly stayed out there in the wilderness with John. They didn't care what others thought about them. They were rugged. I'm talking about the disciples of John. They were rugged. They were believers. They followed a true prophet. And they rejoiced in what was happening in their day. think about the time that they were living in and how they could see, here is John, a true prophet of God, and they left everything. They had to be bold and brave themselves to follow John, because they had to reject the established religions, the accepted religions, and they had to follow something that was seen as crazy, that was seen as strange. I'd like to read to you from John, Luke chapter 3, verse 1. And I have a couple lengthy scriptures reading. I wanted to cut them down. I thought, no, I'm just going to read them, and because there's so much within there that I want to cover. Luke 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Etruria, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, and Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Let me stop there for a moment. You know, God is still able of these stones to raise children to Abraham. Verse 9, and now also is the axe laid to the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said to him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. I'm sure that some of the publicans were doing, exacting more. Verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor, and will gather the wheat into the garner. But the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the tetrarch being reproved by him, for Herodias, his brother's Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now there's a lot there in that chapter, but we can see the message of John is clear. He's pointing to a coming Messiah. He's pointing to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's pointing to Christ. Amen. And John saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. Now I want to read another lengthy scripture here in John chapter 1. And just bear with me. This is some background. I want by showing here in the scriptures what it is that John preached, what his disciples heard him say. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men might believe, through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that. You know, that's a true statement, not just about John the Baptist, but about our brother Branham today. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Notice he said he was not. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they were sent, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, and said to him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, notice, there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same came unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, I appreciate that's a lengthy reading, but there's some things in there I wanted you to hear. You see, some of the followers of John, they became followers of Jesus. They left off following John to follow Jesus. So when we go back into the scriptures that we read at the beginning of today, we see that when John was in prison, he sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the one. Now, Brother Branham, He said John's eagle eye got filmed over in the prison, and we know that any man, when the anointing leaves, the man is just a man. See, that is not just true for John the Baptist. It's not just true for Elijah, who ran from Jezebel, even after Mount Carmel, the showdown when he killed all the false prophets, and he ran from Jezebel. Why did he run from Jezebel? The same reason John was questioning his own message in prison. Because without God, we're nothing. Without that anointing of God, we can't see clearly, and we don't have the faith that we have with that anointing. But what I want to focus on today is, why did John still have disciples when he was in prison? You know, this message I've preached before, many years ago, when I was first started preaching, and I was praying about preaching somewhere, and I've given the testimony before how God kind of supernaturally showed me that this is the message I was supposed to preach. But I remember I was reading in a conference room, just reading my Bible, that scripture in Matthew 11, and I would read John sent two of his disciples when he was in prison to ask Jesus, and something said to me, read that again several times. And then finally the voice said, why did John still have disciples? And I meditated on that, and I meditated on that, and I said, yeah, here's Jesus on the scene. His ministry started. John pointed to Jesus. John told them to follow Jesus. But yet some of the disciples of John stayed with John. And that struck me, that even in this day, we can see the same thing happening. John came to introduce us to Jesus Christ. He wasn't pointing to himself. He didn't want to make disciples for himself. He was trying to prepare the way for Christ. The same as Brother Branham came in our day to point us to Christ, not to point to himself. John said, you know, he must increase and I must decrease. Let me just read a good portion of John 3:22. And after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John was baptizing in Aenon near to Salmon, because there was much water there. That's much water. Why did it have to be much water? Because the only real baptism is immersing. And they came and were baptized. And John was not yet cast into prison. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men are come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness, that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. So John the Baptist realized Christ should increase and he must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Praise the Lord. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, so we see from the scripture, John knew his place, just as Brother Branham knew his place. Both John the Baptist and Brother Branham had this measure of a Spirit of God, but Jesus had the Spirit without measure. Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you know, we love and appreciate all the prophets. We love what God did through Moses. We love that what God did through Daniel and Jeremiah and Elijah. We can appreciate any man that God uses, but there's only one man worthy of our worship, and that is the Lord Jesus. There's only one true living God. He came to earth. He humbled himself as a man. He gave his life so that we could live, and no prophet did that for us. There is only one God and one Savior, and our God is a jealous God, and he will not share his glory. So both John the Baptist and Brother Branham in our day, they pointed only to Jesus Christ. Never at one time did they point the people to themselves, but both pointed the people to follow Jesus. So why do we still have people today who are obviously followers of Brother Branham instead of being followers of Jesus? You see, there was even a time in Christ's ministry where the disciples of John challenged Jesus, which is crazy when you think about it. But you can look it up in Matthew 9:14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus had to talk to them and explain to them, you know, here we got people that should be following Jesus, but they're not. They're following John the Baptist while he's in prison, because they claimed to be disciples of John, but they didn't listen to what John said. They kept their eyes on John. And they go to Jesus, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but not your disciples?" First of all, I'd rather be a disciple of Jesus. John was a true prophet, but the idea is not to become a disciple of the prophet. We have to become disciples of the God of the prophet. Second, be careful when you identify more closely with the legalistic sects than you do with Jesus. You see, whenever you meet a legalistic person, it always gives the impression that they're so self-righteous that they would rebuke Jesus to his face. I always got that impression when you meet somebody very legalistic. They would have no problem rebuking Jesus. And this scripture seems to show that. Can you imagine these people being so blind? In this day also, many people who are disciples of Brother Branham are legalistic. They seem to lack a revelation of why God sent this end time message. It was not to be self-righteous. It was not so you could be better than other people and smarter than other people. They seem to miss that God sent Brother Branham with a message to restore our faith back to the original faith. See? So that Christ could be formed in our hearts and manifested through us. Certainly God did not intend for us to keep our eyes on Brother Branham. If you could imagine, it would be like the wise men following the star. And when they got to Jesus, they kept looking at the star. Well, the whole reason for the star was to point to Jesus, to lead people to Jesus, to lead the wise men to Jesus. But can you imagine the wise men following the star, and they get to Jesus, and they keep looking at the star saying, "What a wonderful star. Isn't this star wonderful?" They would have missed the whole point. If you don't get to Jesus, then you've missed the whole point of the message. But this has always happened all through history. You can look through the Bible. Whenever God used a vessel for deliverance, that the people always seem to worship that vessel instead of God. When the serpents were killing the people of Israel, if you look back, and they were murmuring, complaining about Moses, they never seemed to be happy. And God sent serpents among them, and they were killing them. And then they cried out to God, and then God made a brazen serpent, and he said, "Look, we're going to hold this up, and if you look to the brazen serpent, the brass serpent, you can live." They looked, and they lived. And that was a type of Christ. If we look to Jesus, we can live. But as the scripture goes on, we see that they ended up worshiping the brazen serpent, became an idol. Daniel, he was a prophet used by God to bring deliverance to the people. Supernaturally, God vindicated his message. And what happened? They made a golden image to Daniel. And they wanted people to bow down to the image of Daniel. Listen, Daniel would never have wanted that. Just as Brother Brandon would never want people worshiping him or bowing down to him or keeping your eyes on him instead of Christ. Certainly not. Look at Mary. She was used to bring forth Jesus. And even in Jesus' day, he encountered Mary worshipers in that day. If you look to Luke chapter 11, verse 27, and it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed be the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they which hear the word of God and keep it. So here, look, even in the midst of the crowd following Jesus, you find a Mary worship. Blessed is the womb that bare thee, the paps that hast thou sucked. And he's saying, Yea, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. All through time, we see people worshiping the vessel that God used instead of God. Look, in Paul's day, God used him. And the people tried to worship him, and he had to rebuke them. In Brother Branham's day, clearly, God used Brother Branham to fulfill Malachi 4. He was the seventh church age messenger, and people have gone to extremes. They may call it reverence, but it sure looks like worship. I remember being in Catholic school, and in May, they had a May procession, and all the were all dressed up, and then one of the young girls would crown Mary during the May procession. They called it reverence, but it looked like worship to me. You know, today people are baptizing in the name of William Branham. People say that no man should preach except Brother Branham. They say tapes only listen to Brother Branham, don't listen to other preachers. All other preachers are Dathan and Korah. You know, all those things are contrary to what Brother Branham taught. So once again, we have disciples of Brother Branham not listening to what Brother Branham said. And they got their eyes on Brother Branham. They don't want to hear anybody else. But they're really not obeying what Brother Branham said. God help us. These people are acting like Balaam. If you look back in the Bible, if you follow the scriptures, Balaam did not even believe his own message. Balaam's message blessed Israel. But he kept trying to curse them. And finally, he led the children of Israel into adultery. The same is true today. People claiming to be followers of Brother Branham, but they do not follow what he taught. And they're leading people the wrong way. And if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. May God help us today. So what are we to do, brothers and sisters? See, we do not want to have the wrong emphasis in this hour. While we can and we do appreciate what God has done through the ministry of William Branham, just like we appreciate what God's done through Moses, we appreciate what God's done through John the Baptist, we appreciate what he's done through Daniel and all the prophets, but we need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. We need to worship Jesus alone. Worship no man, worship no prophet, worship no king. Only worship Jesus Christ. Read the Bible and pray to the one and true living God. We need to seek God's will. We need to seek his face. We need to hear his voice. And I believe soon and very soon we're going to see the king if we go into the rapture, which is the goal. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to be a disciple of John. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. Now, this is a very simple message. It's something I've spoken on before. But I think in the hour we're living in, I see two extremes around the message. I see the group of people holding on to Brother Branham. They hold on to Brother Branham's family. They idolize Joseph and Billy Paul and the family and the voice of God, and they They got the Brother Branham coloring books, and they and everything's Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham. You know, Brother Branham wouldn't like that. Brother Branham worshiped Jesus Christ, and so should we. And it's a reproach against the ministry of William Branham to have people following him that just emphasize Brother Branham so much that they're de-emphasizing Jesus Christ. Now, the other extreme I see around the message is people who they become so revelated, so deep, so-called, in their revelation, but they actually go off away from the true gospel, away from Paul's simple message, away from Brother Branham's simple message, and to so-called deep things, which are contrary to the teachings of Brother Branham and contrary to the teachings of the Scripture. See, I believe the true bride is in the middle of the road. She appreciates everything Brother Branham did. She appreciates what he preached. She loves the message of the hour, but she does not appreciate all the strange interpretations of the message. And while we appreciate Brother Branham's experiences, the bride wants to have her own experiences with the bridegroom, not just look back to Brother Branham's experiences. And yes, there are deep things in this message, but God will reveal them to you in simplicity. And they will be very clear, and they won't be contrary to the Scriptures, and they won't be contrary to what Brother Branham preached. God help us. God bless you. Just a short thought today. I want to encourage you in this strange time we're living in to keep praying, keep reaching out to God. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. They're showing signs that hopefully that will be this stronghold that is keeping people from getting out will loosen up, and hopefully we'll be able to get back together and worship the Lord together in church together. God bless you. I encourage you to listen again to Brother Green's sermons. You can find them on the Tucson Tabernacle website. I encourage you to listen to Brother Brian Freeborn. We have the links to both sites on our website. I think they'll both be edifying and encouraging to you as we go forward. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the Scriptures. And Lord, I do thank you for the ministry of William Branham. It's been a blessing in my life. It's helped me to draw closer to you, Lord. But Lord, when I listen to Brother Branham, I don't see anything that's pulling me to keep my eyes on him. I don't see anything pointing me just to exalt him in a strange way. Lord, this whole message, the heart of this message, points me to you, Lord. It points me to seeking you. It points me to the Scriptures. It points me to get closer to you, Lord, to shun the things of the world and to embrace your word and to be filled with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to do that. Forgive us where we failed you in any way, where we grieved you. Bless each one in this local assembly, Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints.